Hospitals in Lebanon are overwhelmed after thousands of people were injured and more than 10 people were killed when pagers used by members of the armed group Hezbollah to communicate exploded across the country. A child was among the dead and Hezbollah this morning has said 10 of their fighters were killed. Iran's ambassador to Lebanon was among the near 3,000 people who were injured, 200 of them critically, in the blasts which happened simultaneously. One CCTV video showed an explosion in a man's bag or pocket in a supermarket. He is then seen falling backwards to the ground and crying out in pain as other shoppers run for cover. A spokesperson for one of the hospitals said that most of the wounds were at the level of the waist, face, eyes and hands. The health minister, Firas Abiad, said that some victims were blinded.
A lot of the injuries are toward, you know, in the face, especially the eyes. We have also injuries to the hand with some amputations and also to the flank. I must say that the response by almost 100 hospitals around more than 14 emergency transport services, you know, we were able to absorb this quite large number of casualties.
This Lebanese woman, Lynn, told the BBC that she and her friends are now terrified to use any electronic device.
I'm currently in downtown Beirut and there's an ambulance passing by every 35 seconds. They haven't stopped for the past couple of hours. We were all talking together, my colleagues and I in the office, that these scenes reminded us of August 4th when the explosion happened. The same bloody scenes, the same chaos at the hospitals, the same chaos on the roads. It's insane. But this time it's not just in Beirut, it's all over Lebanon. We really feel at danger right now. We really fear our devices because if such an attack was so easy to do, then we really wonder how that we are actually walking with ticking time bombs within our hands, which are our phones, our laptops and all of our other devices.
Let's talk now to Karim Shahayeb, a journalist with the Associated Press news agency based in Beirut. Karim, will you tell us just what happened yesterday afternoon from Beirut to the Bekaa Valley and beyond?
Good morning. Yeah, so in the afternoon, we heard news that there were sounds of small explosions in various parts of the country. And we saw that there were several wounded people in different locations, many of them clearly with wounds on their hands, their pants near their pants pockets. It was a very, very bizarre scene, especially considering over the past 11 months, there have been clashes between Hezbollah and Israel, artillery, rocket fire, airstrikes. This is something very different. And we found out that these pagers had indeed exploded, and hospitals were flooded with patients. Hezbollah initially did not blame Israel for the attack, but they did 2 hours later after initial statement and a vow to retaliate. And this appears to be a vicious circle of tit-for-tat attacks, but this appears to be a major blow in Hezbollah's communication network.
Who died, Karim? There was a child who died. Who else?
Yes, yeah, so among the killed was the son of a prominent Hezbollah member of parliament, as well as several other members of the organization, and at least one child has died. She is, according to some sources, you know, as young as 10 years old, and there is news of another child that possibly died as well. The hospital is filled with people, with over 200 critically wounded people, and the health minister has told us that he hopes that this number is not increase, but at the moment we're trying to get more information about who had passed away. It's still unclear, for example, whether senior members of Hezbollah also had these pager devices at their disposal, and they could have been wounded or killed as well.
Why were they using pagers to communicate rather than cell phones?
So Hezbollah uses a particular, simple network tool like this in order to circumvent possible cyber attacks. And, you know, back in February, Hezbollah's leader did admit that cell phones, you know, especially the current smartphones we have been easily hacked to locate and, you know, target senior officials have been assassinated. Many of their officials have been targeted by Israeli drones, for example, and they have been assassinated with these sort of pinpoint attacks. And this was sort of an example of why they resort to very simple devices. And this is how they kind of maintain their covert operations.
They're blaming Israel for the attack. Israel is not commenting. How might this have been done?
It's still unclear. We don't know exactly how it's done. our understanding is that this is a recent shipment of pagers, and experts have said that they could possibly have been rigged before shipment, but we still don't know, and it's still very, very murky on how this was done.
And it's reported that the pagers had been ordered through a Taiwanese company, but they're saying that they outsourced it to a European company. Is that the case?
That's correct, yes. So a Taiwanese company called Apollo Gold, in a statement, said that while these pagers apparently were branded with their logo, they were designed and manufactured with a partner company in Hungary. And they essentially said that while the agreement allows them to use the logo, the designing and manufacturing process is all up to them, and that they have no say in it. And so, as you can see, it's a very murky situation.
Mm. And what is the thinking there, Karim, as to why Israel would do this at this particular point, if it was Israel?
You know, there's all sorts of speculations taking place right now, right? So Lebanon and Israel have sort of dealt with these massive tit-for-tat attacks, whether it's bombing deeper into their respective countries or whether it's targeting a senior leader or something along the lines of that. It's been quiet for a few weeks. And, you know, ultimately, as some experts have said, this could be a massive moral blow to Hezbollah, showing that they could be seen anywhere they go, and that even their simplest communication tools can be found. It's really, really unclear what the consequences will be with this. Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah will be speaking tomorrow, which will be his first public address since the incident. They have vowed that they will retaliate. We don't know what that will look like. So it's just a matter of hours or about a day until we figure out what the thinking is from their side as well.
We were speaking to another Middle East-based journalist earlier in the programme, and he was saying that some are speculating whether this was a prelude to an Israeli invasion of southern Lebanon. Are you hearing any such concerns?
There's always speculation about a possible Israeli invasion. There's been speculation since they have targeted Hezbollah's top commander in late July. The fact of the matter is that we don't know what the red lines are anymore. There hasn't been a full-scale war between the two since 2006. And given the scale of the gradual attacks here, it's really unclear what the red lines are. But the speculation and fears of war is definitely ongoing. The United Nations are certainly in a state of panic given their statement on the situation. And the United States is continuing their shuttle diplomacy to tone things down.
Thank you very much indeed for talking to us this morning. Karim Shahayeb, journalist with the Associated Press News Agency, joining us from Beirut. It's 8:27.